All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Daily Faceoff podcast comes courtesy of the Nation Network. Here's your host, Brock Segan, with Dylan D. Berthium and Michael Beebs Bondi.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Season 9, Episode 34 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by our friends at Betway. If you're going to place a bet on Betway, please play responsibly. Ontario only, and must be 19 years of age or older. As always, I'm your host, Brock Segan. With me is Dylan D. Berthium. We do not have Michael Beebs Bondi at the moment. We're going to kick the show off with everybody's favorite segment, D's Weekend Streamers. And then Beebs will join us in the second half of the show, where we will break down a flurry of action that went down on this Wednesday. The trade deadline was supposed to be this Friday. I'm pretty sure we were not notified, and it was moved up to Wednesday because there was a ton of movement today. If you follow us on Twitter at DFO Fantasy Podcast, actually just DFO Podcast, we didn't really have a whole lot of ideas coming into today. Like, what are we going to talk about besides weekend streamers? And then 100 trades went down, and we were like, oh, this is easy. We'll talk about all these. So without further ado, D, welcome in. Let's give the people the weekend streamers, and then we will talk about all of the juicy trade action that went down today.
Let's do it. All right. So we got 4 games on Friday, 13 on Saturday, 5 on Sunday. So pretty typical weekend schedule. Just 3 teams rocking the Friday, Sunday. Obviously, those are going to be the ones we're looking at in terms of getting some extra skater games into your lineup this weekend. And off the top, we got 2 teams that were just in the segment last weekend and performed rather well from us. First off is the Ducks, hosting the Stars on Friday, and then hosting the Islanders on Sunday. Big question mark here is what their lineup is going to look like this weekend. Obviously, Henrique and Carrick moving out today to Edmonton opens up a lot of ice time, but also McTavish, Terry, Carlson, all out injured right now, all without definitive timelines, so not really sure who's going to be back this weekend and how that's all going to look, but might result in a lot of ice time for 2 skaters in particular, or a big increase anyway. But we'll talk about the injured guys first. Troy Terry, 44% owned, right wing eligible. Again, you know, Terry, McTavish, Leo Carlson, going to have to monitor them going into Friday's game, see if we get an update on any expected timeline, if they're even expected back to return this weekend. But Terry, just 1 assist, no shots on goal in 2 games since returning from an upper body injury, and out again tonight against the Senators with an undisclosed injury. You would assume it's probably related to the upper body injury that just had him sidelined, but again, they're not letting us know, has not been disclosed. But he did retake his usual spot on the top power play unit. I obviously expect him to return to that, probably a first line role with all the moves that they've had and the injuries they're dealing with, if he is healthy this weekend. I'd expect his usual shot volume and goal output to return to normal sooner than later if he is indeed healthy. Plenty of ice time to go around in this top six. It's just a matter of whether or not Terry is healthy enough to capitalize on it this weekend. Mason McTavish, similar story, except he's actually been playing pretty well of late. 4 goals, 5 assists in his last 8 games. He's day-to-day with a lower body injury. So, again, we'll have to monitor his status heading into the weekend. And then Leo Carlson, another player that is seemingly set for an increased role following Henrique's impending departure, or not impending at this point, just his departure. But like McTavish and Terry, also currently sidelined out with an upper body injury, could be a viable option in deeper leagues if he is clear to play this weekend. So keep an eye on DFO for injury updates there. Two guys that we do expect to be in the lineup this weekend, though, are Ryan Strome and Alex Killorn. Ryan Strome, left wing, right wing eligible, 9% owned. He's got 4 goals, 6 assists in his last 13. Came through with 2 assists last weekend after getting dropped in the streamer segment, which was nice to see. And likely to see an increased role this weekend. You know, Henrique alone leaving opens up about 20 minutes of ice time in that top six. But obviously, if you're without the likes of McTavish, Terry, and Carlson as well, plenty of ice time for Ryan Strome to assume. So he's a juicy little piece available in over 90% of leagues heading into the weekend. And then Alex Killorn, left wing, right wing, 18% owned here. Usage and shot volume have been up lately, and that's only going to go further up given all the injuries and the departures that we talked about. 2 goals, 1 assist, 11 shots on goal in his last 4 games for Killorn while playing over 18 and a half minutes a night, and certainly figures to feature heavily on the team's top power play unit and likely the top line as well, given all the absences up front. So Strome and Killorn, two solid bets this weekend, and then if Terry McTavish in shallower leagues or Leo Carlson are made available ahead of Friday's game, I'm certainly looking to get them in my lineup as well. And then moving on, we've got the Arizona Coyotes, the stars of our streaming segment last week. I really highlighted Matias Pacioli in the post that goes up on the website every Friday. Nick Schmaltz as well. Both of them performed really well. Schmaltz, center right wing eligible. He was 90% owned when we talked about him last weekend. He jumped up to 31% owned as of today. The Coyotes got Detroit on Friday and then are in Chicago on Sunday. So not a bad pair of matchups for them. Delivered with a pair of 2-point performances after being featured last weekend. So hopefully you held on to him throughout the week. It was rather enticing to do so. They did have Chicago earlier in the week as well. And again, it's another solid matchup spread for the Yotes this weekend. Schmaltz is up to 4 goals and 3 assists in his last 6 games. It's worth noting they did not immediately reunite him with Clayton Keller following Keller's return to the lineup on Tuesday, which was a little bit disappointing and surprising, I might add. But I would expect to see them back playing together this weekend. They can never stay apart for too long, tend to find their way back to each other. So I'm assuming that'll happen before long. And again, would put money on it happening this weekend. And then Matias Pacioli, left wing eligible, 6% owned last weekend. He's up to 14% owned now today. So again, hopefully you jumped on him and held on him throughout this week. Because all he did last weekend was score a goal and had 3 assists over those 2 games, up to 3 goals and 5 assists in his last 7. Did see a 6-game point streak come to an end on Wednesday, and his ice time took a disappointing hit upon Keller's return to the lineup. And again, was inexplicably dropped to the second power play unit. Dylan Gunther and Barrett Hayton maintained their spots there. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but Michelli did manage to fire 5 shots on goal in that game against the Blackhawks, which is encouraging to see, I'm not quite as high on him this weekend, given the unfortunate impact Keller's presence seems to have on his role, but simply given Michelli's talent and the favorable matchup spread, I think he is a viable option again this weekend. And then Dylan Gunther, another one that's a little bit difficult to project because like Schmaltz and Michelli, Gunther was on a tear coming into the week, but saw his minutes and usage disintegrate in Keller's first game back in the lineup, played just 15 minutes of ice time, managed just 1 shot on goal, though he was fortunate enough to maintain a spot, as I said, on the Coyotes' top power play unit. I do think when Schmaltz and Keller inevitably reunite at 5v5, that Gunther will be the biggest casualty, Michelli likely to maintain his spot on the team's second line alongside his usual line mates, Nick Jukestad and Lawson Kraus, while Gunther will most likely be limited to a bottom six role with Logan Cooley. So because of that, I do prefer Schmaltz and Michelli to Gunther this weekend, but I do still think Gunther's a viable option given his recent form if you're a little late to the wire. And then the other team with the Friday-Sunday is the Minnesota Wild. They are in Colorado on Friday versus Nashville on Sunday, so not the best matchup spread. And the Wild opt for a bit of a top-heavy approach to their forward lines, which doesn't leave us with a lot of quality options on the waiver wire. The name I like the most outside of the top line of Kaprizov, Eriksson-Ek, and Boldy is Marco Rossi, center eligible, 6% owned. He's centering the Wild's second line at 5v5 and has maintained a spot alongside Minnesota's big boys on the top power play unit. He's pointless in his last 6. Which is not great, but his shot production has been through the roof of late. He's got 18 shots on goal in his last 5 games, so look for him to break through on the score sheet this weekend if that trend continues. And the only other name that's really worth a mention here is Ryan Hartman, center right wing, 22% owned. I don't love his upside, being limited to a role in the second line and power play unit and given his shot volume of late, but it's hard to imagine him adding more than a single point two totals this weekend, given that shot volume. So again, not as high on Hartman, but if you're a little bit late to the wire, I think, you know, he's worth a mention, maybe worth a shot to be sure. And then moving on to the goaltenders, again, a lot of copy and pasting going on this weekend because Calvin Picard looks to be set up with another favorable matchup again this weekend. And once again, it is against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Picard was just minutes away from a shutout on Sunday against the Pens, but locked up the easy win, allowed just one goal and 23 shots en route to the 6-1 victory. Similar to last weekend, I think there's an outside chance he starts the front end of the back-to-back in Buffalo on Saturday, given it is an afternoon game. So again, just remember to make sure Stuart Skinner is confirmed for Saturday's game before you move to pick up Picard ahead of Sunday's start. And then the other potential spot starting to keep my eye on is Kevin Lankinen, just 1% owned. Lankinen has delivered in some favorable matchups this season. He's got 8 wins and 12 starts, and he could be set for another one on Sunday afternoon in Minnesota. He last appeared in Anaheim on February 25th when he allowed just 2 goals on 31 shots and a 4-2 victory. The Preds are hot right now, as are the Wild, so we got a bit of a unstoppable force, meaning an immovable object there. But I like their odds of the Preds picking up the win in Minnesota on Sunday. Similar to the Oil, they do play an afternoon game on Saturday, so just make sure UC Saros gets confirmed for that one before you move to pick up Lankinen on Sunday.
As always, absolutely juicy, juicy weekend streaming segment. As far as a couple of those items go, for the Ducks, I would imagine that most likely the only guy that they'll get back is Troy Terry. He seems to be the closest of the group. Mason McTavish was seen wearing a walking boot. They confirmed that he doesn't have any broken bones in his foot. So, you know, probably not going to be out for like the remainder of the year or anything, but does seem like he's probably going to be out for quite some time. And the Ducks still have not provided any update at all on Leo Carlson, so remains to be seen when he's going to be back. They were already really kind of, you know, using some load management with him earlier in the season, and with the season all but, you know, forgotten for them at this point, I would be pretty surprised if they rushed him back in any capacity at all. So, you know, there's the Ducks. There's going to be some big minutes up for grabs for a variety of players in that lineup moving forward. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some other, some other prospects come up and see some, you know, additional ice time here in the next coming weeks as, yeah, their season is just destroyed. I sent out a tweet this afternoon. They faced the Ottawa Senators this evening. And yeah, like without, you know, following that trade and with all the injuries, they are just left with nobody. No Trevor Zegras, no Troy Terry, no Mason McTavish, no Leo Carlson, now no Adam Henrique or Sam Carrick. Absolutely brutal. You're missing literally your top 4 centers. Like every center that you had to start the season is out of the lineup. So yeah, best of luck to the Anaheim Ducks as they close out the season. But thank you, D, as always. Make sure you go and scoop up those picks. I in my weekend or my full week strength of schedule and streaming targets post at the start of the week here, the Coyotes had the second most favorable schedule. So I've got a couple of those Coyotes on my rosters already. Hopefully, decent start so far. Hopefully they can kind of roll into a strong weekend. And coming off a pretty brutal loss to the Chicago Blackhawks, you would imagine that the lineups will probably shake up a little bit. You can certainly see Keller and Schmaltz reunited. So that was D's weekend streamers. We are now going to welcome in Michael Beeps Bondi and turn our focus over to all of the trades that we saw go down on a busy, busy Wednesday.
What's going on, fellas? It is it's an exciting time right now, and I am just as jazzed up. It's great seeing, you know, every single update that we get go through. It's a little exciting. Makes me feel like a kid again, looking at trade trackers and all that fun stuff. I am doing good over here, and I am ready to talk about who's moving where, what's going to happen fantasy-wise, and, you know, what's juicy about it. So yeah, I'm glad that we didn't, my intro today didn't start with a lookalike comparison. So we're doing positive today. It's
don't bring it up.
We go up. There we go.
Before we dive in here, I just want to know, were you guys like the type of guys that were all like trying to be like, hey, like, yeah, mom, I'm sick. I'm not going to school today on trade deadline day. Like, I feel like I never went to school on trade deadline day and I just sat on my couch glued to TSN every year. And it was just such a fun time of year. Like, I feel like it used to be better. Like, they make so many trades like this a couple days ahead of time where the actual trade deadline isn't quite as fun as it used to be. But boy, man, when we were in high school, it was like, it was what a time to be alive.
Bobby, yeah, that's what I was saying. Until we got to like high school and then we had smartphones in the early days of Twitter, then, you know, you weren't really missing too much. But yeah, that was always an ideal card to pull. And you really had to bank those sick days because, you know, mom keeps track. She's got a rolling count in her head. So you really had to bank them when trade deadline day was coming up for sure.
No.
Yeah, definitely couldn't take too many sick days in February because you knew March was going to be a big day for you.
You had to take the elite approach. You had to go, I'm going to be the Frank Saravalli of my school. And that's the way I would do it. I would like run to the computer lab in the library. I'd figure out what trades happened. And then I'd run into the classroom and like tell all the boys. It's kind of like my favorite thing to do. And on that day I was popular. So it was like my one day a year I could be popular. So trade deadline helped me in that way. But no, I was like a total keener in school. So I had to go and I was never thinking about skipping. But that meant that I was then like taking a lot of bathroom breaks. And then I would come back in and be like, fellas. We got Steve Ruchin to, I don't know if that guy ever got traded. But,
I don't think that timeline lines up, but I love the name drop.
We got Ed Jovanovski going to Florida. There we go. That's what I'm pulling out. But no, it was exciting times. I remember like the days when you didn't get the updates right away. So you'd go in and be like, then you'd get, you know, your 10 updates at once. Or when, you know, like TV was the only way you got those updates. That was also quite exciting. So
Steve Ruchin sure was traded once in his career. But it was in 2005, and he was traded in August. So I doubt you were in school breaking trades August 2005. Summer school.
They were teaching
2005,
me
you would have been like 11 years old. So if you were in summer school in 2005, it would have been rough.
Built, but all right, we got
lots of trades to talk about. We're going to start with the first deal that happened late Tuesday, which was Anthony Mantha going from the Washington Capitals to the Vegas Golden Knights. Anthony Mantha, 50% of his salary was retained by the Washington Capitals in exchange for a second round pick in 2024 and a fourth round pick in 2026. Now, Anthony Mantha was part of a massive trade originally that was from Detroit to Washington. Yakub Vrana never really lived up to his billing in Detroit, ended up getting waived. Mantha really struggled his first few years in Washington, but has really come on this year and really found his game, scoring 20 goals, 14 assists, 34 points in 56 games so far this year. Lands in a pretty good spot in Vegas. I do, you know, I'll be interested to see. He's expected to make his Vegas debut tomorrow on Thursday. I'll be interested to see where he lands in this lineup because, to me, there's a lot of possibilities for him. I do think that this is a trade that could really help Anthony Mantha, at least sustain what he's, you know, his current fantasy value. He was playing pretty sizable minutes in Washington, but still only around 14 minutes a night. What, you know, pretty casual Anthony Mantha stuff. I doubt he's going to see many more minutes. But if he does land on a line, whether it's with Jack Eichel or William Karlsson, I do think there's, you know, plenty of value there, and he's probably still going to operate on a power play unit as well. So I do think this move to Vegas can help maintain, you know, this 20 goal season that Mantha's had so far, but still probably going to be on the edge of, you know, fantasy, your fantasy lineup. D, what do you think about Anthony Mantha moving forward in Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll shake out too differently for him in terms of his production the rest of the way forward. It's not like he's moving to a team with what's been an excellent power play this year, 19.5%, so marginally better than the 18.8% that the Capitals were operating at. I think the best case for him would be dislodging someone like Barbashev or Amadio in that top six. Barbashev, I think, has a lot of value there, but we've also seen him be deployed in the bottom six pretty effectively, not just with the Golden Knights, but the Blues before that. And I think Amadio is probably the one that's primed for the taking right now in terms of whose spot he could possibly take over in that top six. So, I agree with you. I don't think he's going to get too much extra ice time here. And I think we'll probably look at him in a pretty similar light as we did with the Capitals this season, that being more of a short-term value or streaming target when the schedule lines up.
It actually turned out kind of crappy that he's just played so well lately in Washington, because I know a lot of people or a lot of leagues that I was in, I kind of went to go look and he was already picked up last week because he'd just been on a little bit of a heater recently here. I totally agree though, boys. I think it's kind of like a parallel move, just all the changes. kind of they all just even out, but that's okay. I do think that he's definitely worth a flyer if you're in one of those leagues where you can get a hold of him. You have an extra roster spot because, like Brock said, anything we don't really know for sure what's happening tomorrow, and if he's up in that lineup, you know, 20 goals, 56 games in is nothing to scoff at. But if you say you don't have anyone to drop, I wouldn't be too upset if you can't get your hands on Anthony Mantha. But definitely worth keeping an eye on these first couple games. Natural goal scorers, never really been able to, you know, show that junior goal scoring touch that he was kind of touted for coming in, but maybe, you know, Vegas tends to bring out the best in players. We might see it again, and I might hate it seeing it just because, you know, it happens so often.
Yeah, he's got an absolutely tremendous shot still. Huge. Just 7% owned in Yahoo leagues right now, so widely available across many leagues. And I do think that, you know, not somebody I'm rushing to the wire for immediately, but if you see the Vegas line combos on Daily Faceoff tomorrow and he's up at the top of the lineup, then certainly somebody that I would be moving to the wire to grab. 7% on Anthony Mantha at the moment. Okay, now moving to today. Many trades, and it started around noon Eastern time, and it started with Vladimir Tarasenko moving from the Ottawa Senators to the Florida Panthers. The Senators received a 2025 third-round pick and a conditional 2024 fourth-round pick, which becomes a third-round pick in 2026 if the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup this year. Ottawa retained 50% of Tarasenko's deal as well. So just $2.5 million cap hit for Tarasenko. Many people on Twitter were very disappointed or with the return that the Senators got, but it's, you know, you have to mention that he had a full no-move clause. He really wanted to go to Florida, so the Senators' hands were tied. And I do think that, you know, obviously signing him to a one-year deal in the summer with a full no move, that was the real mistake. But with what they were dealt with today, you know, I do think they did an okay job of getting a decent return there, but obviously a huge steal, I believe, for the Florida Panthers. So Tarasenko was a guy that on last week's show, we said I would be picking up right now because we think that he could absolutely get a fantasy boost if he gets traded next week. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know exactly where he's going to land in this lineup. I think the real issue for him is that he doesn't really have the flexibility to play the left side. We haven't seen him play on the left side most of his career. He is a left shot, so I think he can do it. But he's been primarily a right winger, which to me probably suggests that he lands with Matt Tkachuk and Sam Bennett, with Matt Tkachuk moving over to the left side. But he could certainly wind up on the top line with Barkov and Reinhardt as well, you know, reuniting that Verhaeghe, Bennett, Tkachuk line if Tarasenko does go to the left side. Either way, I do think he ends up probably in this top nine or top six, excuse me. I doubt he scratches the top power play unit, but if he lands in that top six in Florida, this is a top six that's absolutely dominant at 5v5. And I do think that he does receive a pretty sizable fantasy boost right now. So hopefully you listened to us last week and picked him up before, you know, this happened, because he's already up 8% owned in the last 24 hours to 57%. So somebody that I still want to get my hands on if possible. And Biebs, where do you land on Tarasenko? You were right there with me last week as somebody that you definitely wanted to pick him up.
Super happy to contribute to that 8% today. I will say that as much as, you know, we talked about picking up Mantha. This is the one that I was sprinting to the wire to. And very happy about it. Like you said, that top six is, I think we can use insane now, because it's very, very nice out in Florida. Already considered like they're already leading the NHL in shots on goal, and they just added a guy who loves to put close to three on net per game, in his good day. But at the same time, I think that this helps Tarasenko. We've seen that line. Bennett and Tkachuk are going to take the greasy corner plays. I could just see Tarasenko sitting there and feeding. I don't think that he's a point per game player, because that's asking a ton considering he hasn't done that in 3 years. But with that said, he had 41 and 57 in Ottawa. I kind of have him just a little bit over that pace, just a little bit better, but a little bit better is enough to have him fantasy owned, since he was on the cusp in a lot of leagues, even while in Ottawa. You said the power play stuff, usually we say attack the power play if people are on it. I think this is one of the teams we can obviously take an exception for, like Colorado, like Toronto, that we've seen in the last couple of years, if a guy isn't on there. So definitely someone I'd be sprinting to get, because I do think it's going to be a resurgence for Tarasenko here. We mentioned on last week's show, he's playing for money too. So, This is a prove it bit here in Florida, and you know that he's going to come, he's going to jump in, he's going to buy in, and things are going really well out there. So I would definitely look to grab him. As far as trading for him, I'd maybe not jump too quick and give up too much value, but I would certainly, you know, he is intriguing. D, I might need you to knock me down a peg here though, if I'm a little too excited on Tarasenko. or just keep it going.
I agree. I mean, if he is out there, and I have seen him on the waiver wire in a couple of leagues, especially shallower leagues, like 10 team formats, he's certainly been out there quite a lot this season. But yeah, it's hard to argue that his upside won't be better in Florida. I do kind of want to just walk back, maybe patting Steve Staios on the back over this return, simply because I don't really get the benefit of making this trade 2 days before. Like, the one card you have to play if he's only going to one team is play chicken up until the deadline and just say, you know, if you're not going to give us our asking price, that's fine. We'll just hold him. You know, there's not a lot of value in two mid-round picks for us. Obviously, the one risk in doing that is the Panthers looking elsewhere. But it's hard to imagine that they still wouldn't be down to cough up a third and fourth round pick for Tarasenko in a couple of days, even if they did move for one of the more premium wingers. So yeah, that was the part that I just didn't get. Like, you clearly are taking him or giving him away at a discounted rate because of the no movement clause. Sure. But why not at least try to exercise your only option? And like I said, play a game of chicken, hold on as close to the deadline as possible, and try to at least get a second rounder for him. So I definitely feel for Sens fans that are upset with the return, and just because I think the timing of it doesn't make a lot of sense. But fantasy-wise, I totally agree. I think he's got unquestionably more upside playing in Sunrise.
Yeah, that's been, in my opinion, two underwhelming values in Ottawa, and they're two big trades in the last little bit between DeBrincat and Tarasenko. But again, like you said, hands are tied, makes things very hard. Out in Ottawa, I'm with you there, D. I feel for their fans. It's hard enough to get to that arena as it is. Now they got to deal with this. It's not, not pretty out in Ottawa. It sucks too, because this was an exciting top six to start the year.
Yeah, it's an exciting start to the season for Sens fans, and it has not gone the way they had planned. And when you don't get goaltending, that's what happens. Okay, yeah. The names Anthony Mantha and Vladimir Tarasenko were certainly among the most popular names being floated around as we led up to the trade deadline. Two names that weren't getting nearly as much attention were Casey Mittelstadt of the Buffalo Sabres and Bowen Byram of the Colorado Avalanche. And they ended up getting flip-flopped for each other in a one-for-one deal, which is very, very interesting. Mittelstadt's had a really nice year. A bit of a disappointing start to his career as a whole, but he's really come on in the last couple of years to be a really solid two-way middle six, primarily number two center in Buffalo. 59 points in 82 games a season ago. He's up to 47 points in 62 games this year, on pace to set a career high in goals as well. Could get to 20 for the first time in his career. So we'll start with Casey Mittelstadt. The jump in ice time has been a huge 15 minutes, 44 seconds a season ago, up to 18 minutes, 16 seconds this year. He's landing in Colorado, where he will almost certainly take over for Ryan Johansson, who was also traded by the Colorado Avalanche on Wednesday. We'll get to that one a little bit later. But Ross Colton's had to play a lot of heavy minutes for the Avs this year, and he's probably better suited as a third-line center, where Mittelstadt can be a guy that, like I said, can play a reliable two-way game. He could end up with, you know, whether it's Drouin, Lehkonen, Nichushkin, Parise. Like, he's going to have some good wingers, most notably Nichushkin on his wing, most likely. And I do really like the addition of Casey Mittelstadt. I do think that it helps his fantasy value a little bit, but I don't think it's going to go too crazy. He was still playing with pretty talented wingers in Buffalo. He's still playing a hefty amount of minutes. I would imagine that his usage probably comes down a little bit in Colorado. Probably not going to see the top power play unit. So his value overall might take a little bit of a hit, but I still think that he is fine in this new role. And I really, really like the addition for the Avalanche. I'm not so sure. And, you know, when you take a look at these two trades, it still feels like there's another move to come. So I don't want to judge what the Avs have done so far quite yet. You know, next week we'll maybe talk about the grand scheme of what happened in three or four trades, depending on what other moves they have to come. But as it stands right now, I believe they have $4.75 million.
Sure do.
In cap space as we approach Friday. So it certainly feels like there's another move to come. And I think it will make all of these other deals make a little bit more sense. D, I know you have a little bit of an issue with the signing of Ryan Johansson and the pickle that it put them in this situation to begin with. But we'll start with Biebs, because Biebs, you're a resident Avalanche fan. You know, Bowen Byram, obviously, as an Avs fan, I saw a lot of Avs fans very upset today. Like, Bowen Byram is a player that they had very high hopes for. Never really lived up to those expectations. Was, you know, always playing, you know, less minutes than he probably deserved because of the talent around him. But just also couldn't really stay healthy. As an Avs fan, how do you feel about this Bowen Byram trade as you pan your camera over to your Bowen Byram jersey?
Yeah, this one hurt. It was always in the talks, but it was never something that you thought really would come to fruition because this kid's so talented. But I think when it comes down to it, it was just health. And, you know, when I stepped back and took away my pure love of this kid, because I always thought I was like, we got Makar number two here. Colorado needed that center so bad. And Byram, just with the health concerns, who knows if you make it to the playoffs and I mean, the guy's not even 24 yet and he misses half the season often. If this kind of, you know, if this happens near the playoffs, you've lost a complete asset there. So to have Mittelstadt, a guy who's proven, you know, that he can stay pretty much healthy the last 2 years, he played 82 games last year. And like we said, it just shores up that middle. And we kind of saw it. It's so hard to judge all these moves, like, because you have to consider Walker coming in now. Like you said, there's still so much more to happen. So who really knows? In the end, but I the way I put it, I think that Byram is a better player than Casey Mittelstadt, but I think you can depend on Casey Mittelstadt more than you can depend on Bowen Byram. And that's what it comes down to in the end. As far as fantasy, I think you nailed it. This is another parallel move. In my opinion, Casey Mittelstadt was playing 18 minutes a night out in Buffalo. Likely Colorado loves to lean on their top six. We've seen it. Brock hates it. But we have seen it. Likely that top six is going to play, you know, 18, 19 minutes. So I could see him doing that again, take away that power play time that he was getting. Well, I mean, he wasn't even getting top power play time. The little bit extra that he was getting out there, add in the players that he's going to be playing with. Because one thing that, like you said, that we add in here, people are going to look at Colorado's roster and say, wow, Drouin, Parise on that second line, what are we doing here? But they forget that Nichushkin's coming in. That's a guy who was over a point per game pace when he was in and prior to everything that we saw happen earlier in the year. There's going to be a lot better out in Colorado. And I think that Mittelstadt's going to kind of feed off that, but either way, I mean, he's on pace for over 60 points. And that's kind of where I see him ending. Even with this addition here, he's going to be asked to play a little bit of a different role than he was in Buffalo. So it's exciting, but I wouldn't be sprinting. I would rather go get Tarasenko than get Mittelstadt, I think. But obviously different positions, if you are filling holes. But yeah, I'm not super fantasy excited for Mittelstadt, but I mean it's worth taking a chance on just the team in front of him. And you know, if I'm gonna say that Florida's top six is worth having a guy in, same thing for Colorado, of course.
Yeah, he is currently, he's gone up 8% or 7% today. He's up to 29%, so still widely available in a lot of leagues. I do think that a potential Mittelstadt and Nichushkin combo could be very, very good. Whether or not it releases unleashes great fantasy results remains to be seen. But as a real life hockey duo, I do think that they could have success. Very talented two-way player in Mittelstadt. Nice addition for the Avs. But D, you were talking about this pre-show, like obviously giving up the first for Sean Walker to get rid of the Johansson contract, you know, opens up their ability to make another move here at the deadline. But signing Johansson to a 2-year, $4 million AAV deal is really what got him in the pickle in the first place. So you obviously don't love the deal that they made. Just to give it, you know, we're not going to talk about it too much. It's not super, super fantasy relevant. But the other trade they made today was they brought in Sean Walker, defenseman from the Philadelphia Flyers, along with a 2026 fifth round pick in exchange for Ryan Johansson, who has a $4.0 million AAV cap hit. And they gave up a conditional 2025 first round pick that just is top 10 protected. It slides to 2026 if the Avs happen to have a top 10 pick. Johansson also was immediately placed on waivers by the Philadelphia Flyers. So obviously John Tortorella does not want to deal with Ryan Johansson again. But you were a little bit more critical of this deal. Obviously Biebs is going to have to look through it with his rose colored glasses as an Avs fan, needs to make himself feel good. Maybe give us the other side on how you feel about this deal.
Well, you know, it, like I said, that the contract they handed Johansson in the summer was the bigger issue here. But I will give credit to, you know, it's not too common that we see a front office basically admit their mistake this early on into what was, like I said, pretty bad signing in Ryan Johansson. So I do give credit to Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland, the GM there, for kind of realizing the writing was on the wall there and it just wasn't going to work, and kind of salvaging it what they could this season, because they're obviously at a point with that franchise that they need to be all in every single season with the prime core that they have. So I do give them a bit of kudos for that, but obviously, yeah, like that originally was what facilitated this kind of move. However, I do think like this just helps with their roster construction, the balance of their roster either way. They're always a little bit heavier on the back end than they probably needed to be. Talked about how they were probably should have been open to moving Byram in the past. I do think Mittelstad's a really nice skip for him. I think I'm a little bit higher on his potential fantasy value than you two, which I'm a little surprised on, but he's been a terrific playmaking center the last 2 years. And to Biebs's point, they love handing out a lot of minutes in that top six. We saw Nazem Kadri have a ridiculous season in that same role a couple of years ago. Lack of shot volume is always going to limit Mittelstad's goal scoring upside. So I don't think he can quite have like the 87 or whatever it was point campaign that Kadri had, but I mean, I do think he could flirt with 50 assists. He had 44 in 82 games playing under 16 minutes a night with the Sabres a year ago. And, you know, who's to say they don't go with a more balanced approach in their top six now and maybe give Rantanen some time with Mittelstad. We've seen them do it in the past when, you know, they did have a little bit more depth to the team. So, yeah, I think all is up in the air. So I'm really looking to get him on my roster right now if I at all can. People were quick to pick him up this afternoon, which is understandable, but I really want to see how that lineup shakes out. I think he could potentially even usurp Arturi Lehkonen's spot on that top power play. I know he's been playing well, but I don't think that's like nailed down either. So there are some routes to some pretty significant production here, and I think he's going to be a great source of assists with the Avalanche either way. It's just a matter of who he's playing with, how much ice time he gets as to whether or not the point production really creeps up to anything elite. But I think it's a really nice move for them. They needed some more help down the middle. And they were pretty, pretty deep on the back end. So you take slightly away from one of your strengths and what I think was looking to be maybe an overrated to a degree young piece in Bowen Byram and shore up a weakness, which was down the middle for them. So I like the move.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning too. Ross Colton's had a really nice year. Like he's had to move into the second line role with Johansson struggling, and Ross Colton's put up nice numbers. So you'd think that Mittelstad should be able to step in and at least maintain what he was doing in Buffalo with, you know, if not increase. And like we said, last year we've seen some pretty good numbers from Lehkonen, McKinnon, and Nichushkin together as a unit. So there is certainly the possibility that Rantanen lands with Mittelstad, you know, if not immediately, but maybe down the road. So, yeah.
And then Crosby's got to go somewhere, right?
Yeah, but I think, you know, now adding Mittelstad probably takes them out of the running for the Sidney Crosby sweepstakes that never started. But but yeah, no, I really like the Mittelstad addition for this team. I think it made a lot of sense. Ross Colton's been great. They now have some very, very strong centers down the middle, you know, where they didn't a day ago with Ryan Johansson just not performing to his level. And I don't think, you know, he's not going to be super fantasy relevant. But I do think the addition of Sean Walker is a little bit underrated as well. Sean Walker is a very good puck-moving defenseman, and he's going to replace Bowen Byram totally on that back end in you know, basically what was a second or third pairing role. So I do think that move was a little bit underrated. Obviously, a little bit of sticker shock with the first-round pick, but when you factor in getting rid of the Johansson contract, and again, we'll see what comes tomorrow, right? Like, could they be in the mix for a Jake Guentzel or something like that? Like, they could make another really big splash, and we could be sitting here being like, okay, the Avs are once again, you know, the favorites in the Western Conference. We've obviously seen the Oilers make moves, the Vegas Golden Knights make moves, who we'll talk about in a minute here. This Western Conference, man, it's an absolute arms race right now, and I'm really, really excited to see what happens in the next couple of days. But speaking of the Edmonton Oilers, their big trade on Wednesday, they acquired Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick from the Anaheim Ducks. It was actually a three-way trade with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ultimately, they get Adam Henrique at 75% retained. It's only 25% of Adam Henrique's $5.825 million AAV cap hit. So really nice number there. And then also Sam Carrick, they get him 50% retained from the Anaheim Ducks. So they add some very cheap pieces now to the roster. They gave up a 2024 first round pick to the Ducks. They also gave up a 2025 conditional fourth round pick to the Edmonton Oilers, or sorry, to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Ducks also received a conditional 2025 fifth round pick. So obviously we're just going to focus on the player. Sam Carrick is a fourth line center. I think he's an upgrade for them in the fourth line center role, but we're not going to focus on him too much because the fantasy relevant player in this deal is Adam Henrique. And Henrique's value, man, we talked about him last week as well. And I actually mentioned the Oilers as a potential landing spot for him. And his ownership has gone up 4%. He's up to 42%. His value could either completely erode if he lands as their third line center or slightly improve if he ends up in their top six. I think they acquired him to be their third line center. So I'm not that excited. I'm probably going to be dropping Adam Henrique, but he is expected to make his Oilers debut tomorrow. So you'll find out right away in the morning skate where he's supposed to line up here. If he's on the third line, probably doesn't have a whole lot of value. The good news for Henrique is he's not a guy that's typically relied very heavily on power play production. So he's not going to be on that top power play unit. You're not going to get that in that. There's extra points out of him, but if somehow he ends up on a line with Leon Draisaitl potentially on the second line, maybe it's even Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Henrique and Evander Kane or something like that. I do think that he does still carry some fantasy value, but I think ultimately this trade was made for him to be to solidify their third line center role, and he probably doesn't have a whole lot of value in that role. I think he's going to take away some defensive minutes from that second line, allow the Draisaitl line to see some cushier matchups, which will benefit the Draisaitl line a lot more than it'll benefit Adam Henrique. But D, how do you feel about Adam Henrique moving forward now with the Edmonton Oilers?
Well, to be fair, I think we mentioned the Oilers as a potential landing spot for everybody in the past few weeks. But, you know, you knew they were going to add to that top nine. And I love this addition for them from, you know, a hockey standpoint. The flexibility it gives their lineup to, you know, they've already had a lot of versatility just in terms of, you know, Draisaitl can play down the middle, obviously, or he can play up top with McDavid on the wing. It's same with Nugent Hopkins, and Henrique just adds another layer to that. So yeah, they could potentially on any given night go for a more top heavy approach and just load up the top six, or, and I think what they will likely do come playoff time is stretch the lineup out a little bit, because that's something they really haven't been able to do in the Draisaitl McDavid era. But I have no doubt that there will be some experimenting with Henrique in the top six. You know, it's kind of been their MO for years now to really kind of move back and forth between those kind of builds, and that's continued under Knobloch. So I do think he's going to get a look in kind of all aspects as we head down the stretch here and kind of see where the best fit is. But yeah, we talked about it. He's been playing so much over the last couple of months and producing so well. He's a point per game over his last 23 games that it's just unlikely that he's going to see those kind of minutes and that kind of usage, even on a better team like the Oilers. So yeah, I don't think, you know, he's going to continue to produce at the point per game clip that he's been at since basically the turn of the calendar year. But I do think he easily maintains, like, the, you know, at where he's been at on the year at 42 points in 60 games. I think he's going to continue to be, you know, a usable piece in the short term, someone that you're going to want to stream anytime he does end up in that top six. But otherwise, maybe someone that we see bounce around on the wire a lot when he is dropped to that third line. So, yeah, I love the addition for them. In terms of a fantasy ad, it's not like he was brought in to play on McDavid's wing, right? He could potentially, like I said, and I'm sure he will get some looks there, and you're going to want to have him in your lineup on those nights that he does. But yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at with him, is it's going to be more kind of short-term, seeing where he kind of fits in. Someone that I'm definitely, you know, happy to take a flyer on if I have the room on the roster and just see where he starts out. But I would expect, like you said, in the long-term come playoff time for him to be playing and centering that third line.
Yeah, the one thing that you kind of alluded to that I noticed big time in a way with Henrique's wing and center flexibility, and, you know, McLeod has the same flexibility, and Warren Fogle's really proven to be a guy that can move into the top six and is an effective third line player as well. They have a lot of options. I had a really hard time trying to put together a concrete, like, solid, how I felt, projected lineup for the Edmonton Oilers following these additions, because they have so much flexibility and so many moving parts, right? Like, Draisaitl, Hyman, and McDavid have been playing together. They've been dominating games. Are they going to keep that trio together? Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, Hyman has been one of the best lines in the entire league all season, if not the best line. So do they go back to that? They just have so much flexibility, which they were so limited in recent years. So I really like the addition. You know, I think that fans often get very tied up in the big names, right? Like, you know, Oilers fans wanted Jake Guentzel and whoever else. But I do think, like, you know, with what they gave up here, this is a nice addition. And I do think the Sam Carrick addition for the fourth line is also going to be a welcomed move come playoff time as well. So I really like the move from a hockey standpoint. And like you said, D, it's just going to matter where he is on any given night. You're going to have to just keep checking daily faceoff. And we're going to get lots of traffic to the Edmonton Oilers page to see who is playing with McDavid or who's playing with Draisaitl on any given night, because they are going to be streaming targets that week for sure. Biebs, any final thoughts on Adam Henrique? You are sitting there in an Adam Henrique New Jersey Devils jersey at the moment. So you must have lots of feelings about Rico, as they call him.
Sure am. I was just about to call him Uncle Rico coming in, so I'm glad that you you prefaced that. But no, wearing the jersey because D and I went to high school with the guy, got his support, and he also – we didn't know him, but he was walking our halls, and he,
I think,
also
he was 3 years older than us, and he skipped 80% of his classes. But sure, yeah.
I remember we'll seeing him. That. I remember seeing him with the gold medal after they won the World Juniors, though. So that's my, that's like, I mean, how do you compete with anyone walk around school with a gold medal on? But you don't. So you step back. But he, Adam Henrique, I mean, you've gotten 42 points in 60 games out of him. He was a pickup off the waiver wire. If he doesn't work out for you, no love lost there. You kind of were expecting this. And I think, you know, we kind of nailed it last week when he said he's going to likely go somewhere where he's going to be asked to play what he was brought in the league to do, be a third line center, be that, you know, role player, maybe second line center, but he's not going to get that in Edmonton. But still, you know, not to beat it too hard there. But I do think unless he gets moved up onto the wing, you know, you're going to lose a lot of your value, but that's okay. As mentioned, it was a bonus anyways. So say he does, say you go on DFO and he isn't that top six, then just keep enjoying your Uncle Rico time. But until then, you know, it's a guy who's never put up more than 51 points in a season. So you couldn't have really been expecting a point per game player like you have gotten, as D mentioned, in the last 23. So it's I think it's a phenomenal move for Edmonton. These are the moves you have to make to win a cup. And but fantasy wise, sometimes they hurt us when we have a guy on a bad team who's getting a lot of usage.
The next trade of the day was Alex Wennberg moving from the Seattle Kraken to the New York Rangers. Currently carries a $4.5 million cap hit, but Seattle retains 50% of that contract in exchange for a 2024 second round pick and a conditional fourth round pick, which will become a third. This is initially from the Dallas Stars in the Nils Lundqvist trade, and that one of the funniest conditions on a pick we've seen in recent years. It was if Nils Lundqvist scores a total of 55 points over two seasons, his first two seasons with the Dallas Stars, then that pick moves up from a fourth to a third. So then that condition now moves from the New York Rangers to the Seattle Kraken. I believe he is only at about 33 points so far. So I don't think
two seasons, I believe.
Yeah, but this two is the seasons. Second season. Yeah, this is the second season. So he's got to get to 55 this year. He's about 22 points short, I believe. And I don't think he's likely to get there. So looking like a fourth round pick. But yeah, we're not going to spend too much time on Wennberg here. This is a guy who has only one career season above 40 points, or two above 40. One was right on 40, but 159 point season. That was his career high back in 2017. I do like the move from a fantasy or from a real hockey standpoint. I think that the, you know, with the loss of Philip Hytl in New York, this is a team that was looking for a third line center. And I do think Wennberg fits that bill nicely. He's a solid two way player. He's certainly not going to shoot the puck a ton, but he's a good playmaker. He's a good two way center and provides some stability down the middle for them. Can take away some of those tougher defensive minutes as well. I'll be interested to see if the Rangers have any more moves up their sleeves, because, you know, if they do elect to acquire maybe some just kind of lesser names to provide them with a little bit more of a checking line on that third line with Wennberg, I do think that he could be a bit of a an effective shutdown center in a way come playoff time. So, yeah, not a huge fantasy asset at all, but a solid hockey move, I think, for a team that really needed a third line center and then has, you know, just no fantasy value at all.
Do the Kraken play the Stars at all? Can they pull their goalie for an entire game and help Lundqvist get the 20 some odd points he needs to hit that condition?
That'd be awesome. Know. Imagine it's just a casual 30-3 game. It's like, no, we didn't change anything up. He's got a casual 24 points. Imagine the fantasy
implications that would have.
During the fantasy playoffs,
they actually have two. Yeah, they have two games left against the Stars on March 30th and April 13th.
Couple 12-point nights.
Help him break Sittler's record twice, and he's there. Wyatt Johnson almost hit it with a goalie in the net.
Yeah, no kidding. Unbelievable stuff. Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen, but it's certainly up in the air. You never know. Everything.
They don't want it bad enough if they're not doing it. These teams are still playing checkers, and there's chess there to be played. They just don't want it bad enough.
So funny if they just do it and nobody gives the puck to Lundqvist. He's just already healthy scratch because their blue line's so deep now. It just doesn't even matter.
Like, is it wrong that I'm worried
even if they tried, he might not be able to get those 12 points in a game, boys.
That might be the case too. I know for sure, yeah. Though, I'm putting Nils Lundqvist in my DraftKings lineups whenever the Kraken face the Dallas Stars moving forward. And then the last deal, it hasn't come through. We don't have full details yet. I was hoping that we were going to, not that we would have been able to break it live on the show because the show is obviously recorded, but I was hoping that we were going to get some details on this trade. It looks like Noah Hanifin is going from the Calgary Flames to the Vegas Golden Knights. I am sure by the time you listen to this tomorrow, this trade will be completely done. And the only name that we know as of right now that seems to be going the other way is Daniil Miromanov, who is a 26-year-old defenseman for the Vegas Golden Knights. So not a huge return there. There's certainly more chips to fall. And like I said, you guys will absolutely know them already tomorrow. But let's talk about Hanifin in Vegas. He's a name we talked about last week. He really had no chance of landing anywhere else and seeing much of a fantasy boost. And this certainly is not a spot where his fantasy value is going to rise. Alec Martinez was placed on IR today. Whether or not he goes to LTIR and open up more cap space wouldn't be surprising at all for the Vegas Golden Knights. But, you know, I do think Hanifin can play some pretty big 5v5 minutes moving forward, whether it's, you know, for an injured Martinez, whether it moves McNabb down the lineup a little bit. He's going to factor into that top 4D for sure. But I just don't think he's going to see nearly the same amount of power play time that he did in Calgary. He saw some power play one time throughout the season, pretty often on the second power play unit. So he's probably not going to play a similar role, you know, on special teams, but at 5v5, he's still going to eat minutes. So I still think, you know, especially in leagues with some additional counting stats, Hanifin can chip in there, but he probably doesn't, you know, see a fantasy boost at all. Currently 89 blocks, 46 hits. So Banger League still providing you a little bit of extra support there. Does have 11 goals, 24 assists, 35 points in 61 games. Goes to a better offense. I wouldn't be dropping him by any means, but I just don't think, like, you know, I think people will just look at this move and automatically think, like, oh, he's going to a better team. His value's going up. And I don't think that's the case. He's currently sitting at 67% owned. If he's out there, I think he's okay. He's a great real hockey defenseman. This is a great, phenomenal addition for the Vegas Golden Knights. I don't know how they keep getting away with this. Insert the Jesse Pinkman gif. Because it's unbelievable, but yeah, he's a tremendous real life hockey player and an absolutely terrific addition. Biebs, we'll start with you on this one because you are, as we've mentioned many times, our resident Avalanche fan. D mm-hmm. and myself are fans of Eastern Conference teams, so we hopefully won't have to deal with the potential wagon that is the Vegas Golden Knights until the Stanley Cup Finals. Wishful thinking that the Detroit Red Wings are even going to get there. You obviously are going to have to face this team if you want to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, most likely. How do you feel about the Vegas Golden Knights doing it again?
Yeah, well, as the resident Avalanche fan, I'm also the resident Vegas hater. They come hand in hand. It's a role when you sign up for one, you sign up for the other. But we can actually break some news on air right now. There will be a third team involved. That was just announced a minute ago on the Hanifin deal. And that's needed because, you know, Vegas needs some salary retention. And they always seem to pull off these incredible deals. I hated seeing it. I mean, who would have thought Vegas is taking the best defenseman off the board yet again? The best maybe player off the board yet again. You know, it's definitely not, it doesn't matter who they're sending away. It's going to be a move that improves them quite a bit. Fantasy wise. I like you kind of mentioned, I don't love it because you've gotten a lot of value out of Hanifin and I'm in agreement that I think it's going to go down. But yeah, hang tight. But as far as the team goes, Vegas is shoring up to, you know, if they can make the playoffs, they're going to make the playoffs. But if they can, there was a little bit of worry there. Once, you know, they got Jack Eichel, he just came back. Things are starting to fall back in place for Vegas. It was looking a little scary for a bit there. If they can get Mark Stone back for the playoffs, though, they are a different team. That's the big difference.
If they can get Mark Stone back. Guys, yeah, sitting in Vegas by his pool, just chilling, waiting for playoff season. Jack Eichel's got to be pretty excited about this. I know him and Noah Hanifin are buddies. They played the Sandbagger Invitational together, both Boston, Massachusetts guys. They got to be excited to be getting paired together. I'm sure that that was a big part of acquiring Hanifin as well. I'm sure Jack Eichel had some pull there. But I love that. If Mark Stone comes back, he's got to be just fully healthy at the moment.
No, he, I mean, we saw it was hilarious today. Alec Martinez goes on the IR, and even just seeing that, we're so used to it that every comment we saw kind of filtered through and we broke that news.
I don't think the average fan knows who the difference between IR and LTIR though. Like, they don't get any salary relief until he goes on LTIR. So,
which was hilarious because the reactions were like, "Oh, what's coming?"
And then he's coming back. Game one of the playoffs for sure. It's like he could come back next week and it would have no difference.
Same but, implications. But no, it's yeah. But either way, they've done it again. They've hoodwinked the NHL. Vegas, you're good. You're good at what you do.
Me and D were talking about this pre-show. It's like it's so funny to me still that like they haven't tried to fix this really at all. And that the most important time of the season, the playoffs, the salary cap just doesn't exist. Like it's fine. Just go out there. You can have a $200 million roster if you manage LTIR properly, and just go ahead, win a cup. You deserved it. You were cap compliant all year, but now it does not matter. D, any further thoughts on Noah Hanifin before we wrap up the show?
Well, if we're going to keep hating on Vegas, and this one is less unique to them, I will say the double retention on trades seems a little bit ridiculous to me. I don't really see why that's allowed. It was great. It allows more trades to happen that a team can retain money on a contract. But these three-way trades, just to get it down to a 25% cap hit, like I just don't understand why you have a hard cap in a league if there's all these ways to get around it and circumvent it, not even just in the playoffs, but leading up to it as well. And I say that as, you know, someone, a Maple Leaf fan who was fortunate enough to get the great Ilya Lyubushkin on like a $30 cap hit, because of the 75% retention. So, but yeah, that, just another thing that just doesn't make sense. There just seems to be so many ways to get around the hard cap that completely go against the spirit of it. And I just don't understand the purpose of it. Let's just do a luxury tax and let the best teams be the best teams and pay the rest of the shitty teams, for really taking advantage of their money and the assets that they have. But anyway, Noah Hanifin, I think it's interesting. The Golden Knights really haven't been a great possession team at 5v5 this year. Honestly, their struggles have been a little bit masked by the fact that they've gotten such fantastic goaltending, namely out of Aiden Hill for Thompson at times as well. But obviously, you know, getting the guy like Hanifin is going to go a long way to improve that. That being said, I think, you know, in traditional fantasy formats, the ones that don't account for things like hits and block shots, I do think Hanifin's value goes down. He probably doesn't have a spot on the power play at all anymore, whereas in Calgary, he was getting time with the second unit. However, in deeper category leads, things that reward stuff like hits and block shots, there might actually be more opportunity for him to rack up those stats even further, simply because, believe it or not, the Flames were a pretty demonstrably better team at 5v5 in terms of controlling the puck and getting shot attempts off than the Vegas Golden Knights have been this season. So there might be even more time that the opponent has the puck and for Hanifin to do his thing and rack up the hits and rack up the block shots. So just something to keep in mind there. I think he's going to continue to be really good in the formats where he's excelled this year, but you may not get that the cherry on top that he's been able to provide with some offensive production, because I doubt he takes over for either Shea Theodore or Alex Pietrangelo on the power play.
Double-digit goals for Noah Hanifin in two of the last three seasons. So he's turned into one of those guys that can just kind of put in 10 goals with 30-plus assists every year. He's been kind of an underrated fantasy asset for sure. But that is going to do it for the fantasy part of this show. We're going to close out the show with the Betway bets of the day, and we are going to send you on your way. And enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the fun that is the trade deadline week in the NHL. We'll be back next week to break down all of the trades that happened. But without further ado, let's get to the Betway bets of the day.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Looking at the board right now, honestly, there's not a whole lot that I absolutely love on tomorrow's slate as of right now until we get some news. But the two games that I like, Nashville -154 at the moment, at home against the Buffalo Sabres. This is a Buffalo Sabres team that is currently playing this evening in Toronto, so a back-to-back for them. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is starting tonight, which most likely means Erik Komari tomorrow. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has basically been the only chance the Sabres have had recently, and if he's not starting, the Nashville Predators had their ridiculous hot streak come to an end against the Canadiens last night, so I'd expect them to get back in the win column. So -154 on home ice against the Sabres team on a back-to-back, also good. A good idea typically to target teams that are not just on a back-to-back, but are traveling across border. So from Canada to the United States, like the Sabres are doing in this game. So I like the Predators -154 at the moment. Whether or not that line sticks around by the time you listen to this or not, we shall see. Next is the Vancouver Canucks. I like on the road in Vegas -105. Pretty even split here. Like we said, this Vegas Golden Knights team is circumventing the cap with all their injuries. The problem is they're dealing with a lot of injuries. So that is an issue. Obviously, if they do acquire Noah Hanifin, there's no guarantee that he'll be available tomorrow. Obviously, again, being traded from a Canadian team to an American team, there are typically some visa-related issues. We saw it with Chris Tanev, missed a couple of games following his trade to the Dallas Stars. So, no Mark Stone, obviously, no Alec Martinez now. If Hanifin doesn't get traded there and or isn't eligible to play it following this trade, then yeah, their blue line's going to be looking a little thin, already pretty thin up front. So I like the Vancouver Canucks -105 heading into Vegas tomorrow as well. As of right now, probably the only two games that I'm looking at because, yeah, there are a lot of heavy favorites tomorrow. And there's just obviously as we get close to the deadline, you got to be picky and choosy with your spots because there are a lot of teams that could just randomly decide to sit guys like today. I had no intention on betting on the Ottawa Senators, but all of a sudden, you know, big trade for the Anaheim Ducks. Then they announced a couple guys are out for injury and you've got a very short-handed Anaheim Ducks team. The one thing that made me very nervous just really quickly about that bet was everybody was like talking about how many bodies are missing from the Anaheim lineup. And everyone was like, oh my God, smash the Sens, bet the Sens. But then that was just your casual fan. Every single Sens fan that came onto Twitter and saw the tweet were like, oh yeah, we're getting shut out 7-0. So I was like, oh man, what do they know that I don't? These guys watch this team every single night. There's no way this goes well. But anyways,
Anaheim did just announce their starting goalie as the Dost Wall. So I don't think you're beating that thing, dude. That's off their official account. So I don't know. Dude,
he's got like 5 games over 50 saves. I'm pretty sure. So he's been unbelievable. But yeah, I will lock it in here. Give me the Nashville Predators -154 and the Vancouver Canucks -105. And those were your Betway bets of the day. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. This was Season 9, Episode 34 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the trade deadline. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you guys back here next week.
Let's hope we have some juicy trades to talk about. Fantasy stuff.
Peace. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.